Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Ang guest natin ngayon ay isang nature storyteller. Pero maaari nang ibansad na diwata ng kalikasan para sa TikTok generation. Sa totoong buhay, siya ay isang dating guro sa isang kolehiyo na nagtuturo na ngayon sa madla tungkol sa native trees at wildlife. Walang iba kundi si Celine Urillo. Maganda at makakalikasang araw sa iyo, Celine.
Maganda at makakalikasang araw din, Howie, at sa ating mga listeners.
Celine, napaka makulay ng buhay mo, no? Just judging from what you post online. Pero dati kang college teacher, tulad ng nabanggit ko, no? Nagtuturo ka sa isang college sa Rizal Province. And then one day, no, nagpasya kayo ng asawa mong si Dennis Murillo na halos tumira na sa camper van ninyo at ikutin ang bansa or a big part of the country, no? Bakit nyo ginawa yung lifestyle na yan?
Yung ako kasi, tsaka si Dennis, mahilig kaming mag-hike, mahilig kaming mag-travel. Tapos mahilig din kaming mag-picture-picture. And isa sa mga nangyayari pag nasa labas kami, usually the best time is during dawn or dusk. So we need to stay the whole day sa isang place. And yung idea ng camper van is because we wanted to stay in a place longer to get better photos.
Yeah, and then may pangalan pa yung camper van nyo, no? Si Eli, no?
Si Eli,
So bakit Eli? Bakit nyo pinangalang Eli ang camper van?
Si Eli kasi isang Mitsubishi Delica. So from Delica, Eli. Eli.
Okay, before I ask about your subject matter, no? Napakalawak at malalim, no? Itong lifestyle muna, no? So, you've been living out of your camper van, pero may bahay din kayo, no? Nasa Sorsogon ka ngayon, Sorsogon Province, sa Bicol. So you have a base. So how many days in the month are you living out of your camper van at umiikot sa iba't ibang probinsya?
The longest time is na we lived full-time sa camper van kay Eli was 1.5 years. So almost 2 years kaming kay Eli lang nakatira. Then we went back here in Sorsogon.
So much of 2023, nakatira kayo sa isang camper van?
Yes, 2022 to 2023.
Over 1 year yung ginawa yan.
Mm-hmm.
So for most of our listeners, you know, almost all of our listeners are probably live in, you know, conventional homes, no? They don't live on the road. Siguro nagtataka, no, paano nyo na minamanage to? I mean, syempre, isa sa mga unang pumapasok sa isip ng mga tao, paano yung banyo? I mean, do you have a bathroom in the camper van? Ano bang ginagawa nyo? Paano kayo naliligo? And, you know, just the basic daily, you know, personal obligations nyo.
So, meron kaming portable na toilet kay Eli. Pero hanggat hindi namin siya magagamitin, hindi namin siya gagamitin. So, we make use of public toilets sa mga gas stations. Tapos, when we go to waterfalls or mga beach resorts, sinasabay na din namin yung ligo para makatipid. So, hindi kami araw-araw naliligo.
Wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, kayo dalawa lang naman magkasama. No? So, I guess you can just tiisin nyo lang yung isa't isa. But, That's really interesting for a lot of people. Na nagawa niyo, I mean, for some people, kaya nilang gawin yan for maybe a couple of days, no? Yung ganyang klaseng road trip, a few days, maybe kayo more than a year, no? So, hindi talaga kayo nag-hotel or wala kayong dalang tent. I mean, nagte-tent kayo. May dala kayong camping gear, of course, no? Hindi lang kayo natutulog sa loob ng sasakyan.
Nagka-camping lang kami, nag-set up ng tent kapag umaakyat ng bundok. Ang ginagawa namin, naghahanap kami ng mapaparkingan. So usually sa dun sa area ng halimbawa ng bundok, malapit doon sa jump off. So nagpapaalam kami kung pwede kami doon makipark. So doon kami nag-stay. Pero sa loob pa rin ni Eli kami natutulog.
Okay, another question that many may be wondering is, paano yung safety ninyo? Natatakot ba kayo para sa inyong seguridad? Or do you really carefully choose everywhere you go? Ano bang precautions ninyo?
nung nagsisimula pa lang kami, so hindi pa namin alam kung paano yung mga diskarte, somewhere in Camarines Norte, nag-park kami. Tapos, ang una namin ginagawa, nagpapaalam kami sa mga locals na malapit. So, nagpaalam kami. Then, gabi na, natutulog na kami. Naka-close na si Eli, ganyan. Naka-set up na yung bed. Tapos, may kumatok. It was the same local na pinagpaalam namin. Na nagpaalam kami. Tapos, sabi niya, meron daw siyang mga kasama. So, kinabahan kami. Tapos, yung pala, isa siyang tanod dun sa barangay. Sinabihan niya yung mga kasama niya na nandun kami. Tapos, nag-worry din siguro yung mga kasama niya. So, sinabihan kami na lipat na lang kami sa barangay hall na malapit lang din naman sa area. So, from then, pag nasa bagong lugar kami, una namin pinupuntahan ay yung barangay hall. Nagsasabi kami na pwede po ba kaming mag-overnight parking sa area kasi gusto namin yung pictural. Yun, nagpapasabi na rin kami. So, yun yung technique.
And then, most of the time, pinapayagan kayo. I mean, wala naman suspicious.
Wala pa naman kumikindi.
okay, that's interesting. Kasi, you know, after listening to you and, you know, and watching your videos, baka may mga gustong gumaya, no? Or meron na ba? Meron na bang gusto mag-adapt ng ganyang lifestyle na babalitaan mo?
I think meron na ding mga ilan-ilan na gumagawa. Meron akong nabalitaan yung jeep. Jeep naman sila, imbis na van. Still going around the country din.
Sweet. Well, okay, one final question lang about this lifestyle, no? So, you natutulog kayo madalas sa loob ng sasakyan. Hindi mo mainit? I'm sure hindi naka-on yung sasakyan nyo tsaka yung aircon ng sasakyan nyo the whole time, no? So, in most places you go to, lowlands, no? Hindi mainit, no? So, paano nyo na nagagawa yun? Paano nyo natitiis?
Marami kaming mga portable fans around Eli. Siguro 3 to 4. Well, actually, 4. Yeah, 4. Tapos yun, para lang ano yung ventilation okay. Tapos pagka okay yung lugar, binubuksan din namin ng konti yung bintana. At tapos merong exhaust si Eli sa bubong. Kaya okay yung flow ng hangin.
Okay. So, nung nag-umpisa kayo, no? So, whatever, mahilig sa visual media, no? Photography and video. And then, nag-on-cam narration din kayong dalawa doon sa loob ng van during the trips. And then, nasa lupa na kayo, no? Nag-shoot na kayo. Nag-start kayo, you shooting mostly landscapes. It was more like a travel vlog, no? More recently, nag-transition ka to producing videos primarily on native species, native trees, and some native plants, and native birds, no?
Yes.
Why?
I feel like na mas malalim yung pagkilala sa isang lugar when you know what's in there. We often go to yun nga, mga gubat, mga bundok. Parang mas, for me personally, mas satisfying getting to know the place when you know kung sino yung mga nandun, kung ano yung mga nandun. And aside from that, gusto ko kasi talagang makilala ng mga Pilipino kung ano yung meron tayo. Maraming Pilipino ang alam, kahit sabihin mong cherry blossom, pag sinabi mong cherry blossom, kahit hindi pa nila nakikita, alam nila kung ano yung itsura. Kahit hindi nila nakikita sa personal. Pero pag sinabi mong malabulak or salinggogon, Hindi nila alam na puno yun, na native yun sa atin. So, yung pag-transition to creating short-form video is a response to that na ipakilala yung sariling atin na can go toe-to-toe with foreign species na mas kilala sa mainstream media.
Siyempre, pag sinaming cherry blossoms, iniisip yung cherry blossom trees sa Japan, right? Namumulat-lat pag springtime doon, no? So pero sinasabi mo tayo meron tayong version niya na maganda rin pero hindi siya masyadong kilala. So kailan nag-umpisa itong interest mo sa mga katutubong puno, no? Native trees and then native plants. Noon pa to when you were already shooting landscapes and wildlife on the road or this is a more recent interest?
Kasabay siya nung pag-hike namin, na pag may nakikitang bulaklak, ganyan, or halaman, yun ako curious ako, meron palang ganito sa Pilipinas, ganyan. Tapos, since very into decolonization din ako, I feel like that's a part of it, decolonizing biodiversity, by getting to know our local biodiversity, our natural heritage. And by doing that, the way we approach, halimbawa, yung conservation would be more localized, more appropriate sa bansa natin. Kasi the way we've been doing it is just based on what's been happening sa ibang bansa na usually hindi naman applicable sa Pilipinas dahil una-una iba yung weather system natin, yung climate natin. And so, I feel like by getting to know our local biodiversity, magsasanga-sanga and
magiging
mas malapit tayo sa nature and magre-reflect yun sa values natin and how we live our life.
So, sabi mo, one of your goals is decolonization, or mag-decolonize. Anong ibig mong sabihin?
Yung decolonization, kasi much of the Philippines' history is colonialization, colonialismo. Very rarely yung alam natin, pre-colonial. And part of that, nung sinakop tayo ng iba't ibang mga dayuhan, dinala din nila yung mga plants nila. So maraming introduced species. And dahil doon, yung mga kilala ng mga Pilipino, yung mga introduced. So na-appropriate, na-subsume yung mga local plants natin. And gusto kong, through getting to know our local biodiversity, I want the Filipinos to know that, you know, meron tayong history before being colonized. Meron tayong heritage before these foreigners come into to our country.
Yeah, kasi that's a cultural goal, no? Yung pag-decolonize, no? At the same time, you have a conservation goal, di ba?
Uh-huh.
So parang nagsabaya, no? Kasi you don't just want your viewers and listeners to know that we had all of these plants and wildlife even before, you know, foreigners came from Europe, but you want these species to continue living, di ba? Or to revive their numbers. Pero yung dun sa tagline mo sa TikTok, no? Sabi mo you want to mainstream Philippine biodiversity. Why? What do you mean by mainstreaming Philippine biodiversity? Wala pa ba sa mainstream ngayon?
I feel from observing yung media natin, compared to a few years ago, mas may awareness na about our local species, our local biodiversity. Pero I wouldn't say na nasa mainstream pa din. Kasi people still recognize foreign species better than our local species. So what I want to do is to make it part of our consciousness na tipong hindi na siya bago sa atin, to the point hindi na siya special, kasi lahat tayo alam na natin yung mga katutubong kahoy, mga katutubong halaman, in the same way that we know about cherry blossoms, that we recognize a lion kahit wala namang lion sa Pilipinas, that we recognize tigers.
And then you started a series on the species on our money, no? Ang tawag mo doon ay Sari Buhay sa Salapi, no? Hindi alam ng marami siguro na may mga native species tayo ng mga halaman at hayop, no? Sa pera natin, no? Nakikita lang natin doon pero hindi natin masyado napapag-isipan, no? Una yung salitang Sari Buhay. Obviously, this is a translation of biodiversity, no? Pero ang narinig ko madalas yung samot-saring buhay, no? Yung saring buhay ba, did you coin this or where did this word come from?
Hindi ko siya kinoin. Nung sa ASEAN Center for Biodiversity, naririnig ko silang ginagamit yung saring buhay for as Tagalog translation of biodiversity. So, yun, from there, inadapt ko na rin sa saring buhay.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, it's short. It's shorter. It's catchier than samutsaring buhay na medyo mahaba, no? I guess it's like calling biodiversity biodive, no? Medyo mahaba kasi yung biodiversity. So anyway, bakit tinalakay mo tong mga species na nasa pera natin?
Lahat kasi tayo may barya. So lahat ng barya na nahahawakan ng Pilipino. So I feel like it's a good entry point to introduce our native species. Kasi pag pinag-usapan natin siya, yung mga tao would be like, uy, oo nga, no, meron palang halaman sa likod ng 5 piso or may halaman pala sa likod ng piso. Accessible, it makes the concept of biodiversity accessible to the general public kasi you know, money is everyone's concern. So yun, I thought about doing yung Sari Boy sa Salapi to get the interest of the general public.
At yung isang feature mo ay yung Medinilla Magnifica, no?
Uh-huh.
Ano yung common name nito?
Kapa-kapa.
Kapa-kapa kasi may parang may kapa siya, no?
Yeah.
I actually have a few of those in my garden, no?
Wow.
Yeah, it's endemic. Sinabi mo nga, it's endemic. Endemic ba o native?
It is endemic.
Endemic, ibig sabihin only in the Philippines. Kahit sa ibang bansa sa Southeast Asia, wala yan, no? So talagang sa Philippines. Well, you know, I have them in my garden not just because it's endemic, but it napakagandang halaman, no? At ipinakita mo 'yon kasi sa pera natin, di mo makikita yung kulay, obviously, no?
Oo.
Nasa coin kasi yan, no? Pero nung ipinakita mo yung napaka-brilliant red, or how would you describe the
pink
color? It's hindi siya red eh. Parang pinkish almost, no? Red,
oh,
pink, light red.
Vibrant
yun.
Pink. Yes.
Oo, vibrant yun. And then, yun nga, yung pinakita mo may kapa. Yung mga halaman ko rito, wala pa sila mga kapa eh. They're fairly young plants, no? Yun, I'm sure that was a revelation for a lot of people, no? Ano yung nagiging reaction sa mga ganong klaseng halaman, yung mga fini-feature mo?
Dun sa kapa-kapa, particularly, I had comments na sinasabi nila, ay, akala ko grapes. Akala ko baliktad na puso ng saging. Akala ko wais. Ganun yung mga comments. So, parang ano yung affirmation for me to continue doing not just the series, but also the other short-form content. Kasi minsan naririnig lang natin, tapos hindi natin alam yung itsura. Isa pang example, yung jade vine. Kami ni Dennis, akala namin, parang common knowledge siya na maraming Pilipino yung alam kung ano yung jade vine. Tapos when I posted yung Sari Buhay sa Salapi na 5 piso featuring jade vine, ang daming nagko-comment pa rin na, uy, ngayon lang ako nakakita niyan. May ganyan wala sa Pilipinas. So, yun, the awareness talaga could be improved. And I'm happy that my work is contributing to that.
And then, medyo mababa ang awareness because hindi masyadong madalas nakikita yung mga halamang ito sa mga garden, yung mga resort, no? Tama ba yun? Or, well, ako kasi, I've seen these plants kasi mahilig ako sa halaman. So, yung ordinaryong tao, ang sinasabi mo, it's hard for them to see these plants. Hindi sila masyadong visible compared to other kinds of plants. Kahit napakaganda ng jade vine. Iba yung kulay ng jade vine, no? Parang, yun nga, like turquoise, no? Iba yung kulay, parang unique yung kulay niya,
oo,
no? And yung Medinilla din has a certain uniqueness din sa larangan ng mga halaman.
That's true. Kaya din sinasabi ko na mainstreaming. Kasi by mainstreaming, by raising the awareness that we have these kinds of animals and plants, tataas yung interest to cultivate and to revive at paramihin. Kasi ngayon, halos kilala sa ornamental industry, yung mga foreign species. When in truth, well, we have so many local species that can be cultivated, that's perfect for gardens, for landscaping. Isa na nga dun yung Medinilla at Tayabak at jade vine.
Well, speaking of foreign species, no, yung isang foreign species ng halaman na sumikat lalo na nung pandemya, yung Monstera, no? Nakita natin sa mga social media feeds natin, may mga celebrity na bumibili na mga variegated Monstera or yung mga ibang klaseng foreign species for large amounts, no? Baka hindi nga nila alam na foreign yun, or baka kaya mas pinapahalagaan yun dahil imported, no? Alam
yes
naman, yun nga, yung colonial mentality nga natin na mas mahalaga or mas sikat yung imported na kahit anong bagay, no? Kasama na yung mga halaman. But you are emphasizing in your content the value of natives. And in fact, they're even rarer, no? Yung Monstera, you will see Monsteras and philodendrons, which is also a non-native plant. Well, you'll see them in a lot of garden stores, plant stores. You'll see them in a lot of gardens in general, no? Pero yung isang finiture mo, which is actually one of my favorite plants, no? Yung tibatib, no? Yung epipremnum pinatum.
Pinatum.
and you said that it looks like a Monstera, no? And pero you pointed out the differences, no? But one major difference is hindi mo makikita yung tibatib sa mga garden stores. Hindi yan madalas binibenta, no? Kasi it's so, well, I don't know, hindi ko lang kung common siya, no? But for me, I see it so often, no? Kasi napapansin ko yan sa pag nag-hiking or gumagapang yan sa maraming klaseng puno, no? Kahit sa mga coconut trees, gumagapang yan, no? Pero hindi siya desired as a plant kung ikukumpara mo sa Monstera. Kahit magkawig sila, no? It looks like the Monstera Deliciosa in particular, diba?
Right.
So I'm glad you featured the tibatib and you actually unpacked it, no? You kind of showed us the different parts of it, no? Pero why is that? Na kamukha niya yung isang desired plant na foreign, pero ito native, and I'm sure it could be much more affordable, no? Kung binibenta lang siya, and it's easy to propagate, you don't have to poach it from the forest, no? But you can grow it from cuttings lang. Bakit kaya hindi masyadong accessible, hindi masyado siyang desired as a garden plant?
Siguro connected dun sa pinag-usapan natin kanina na yung colonial mentality na foreign is better. And also, si Monstera, maganda yung PR niya. So na-PR siya na ganito na it's a very beautiful plant. Na maganda rin naman yung tibatib. So I think tibatib just needs a better PR marketing. Yun nga, as you said, easier to cultivate and I'm sure it will be more affordable pagka binenta sa market. Pero sa provinces, nakikita ko siyang ginagamit siyang pang-decorate sa mga event. So, imbes na yung mga plastic decoration sa mga schools in the province, they use it to decorate the stage. So, meron talaga siyang ornamental potential. Highly underutilized lang.
Magandang gawing decor, no? And it's so abundant in a lot of places na hindi naman siya threatened siguro, no? Na kung gamitin siya ng gamitin as an ornamental, hindi naman siguro matitreaten yung kanyang existence. Hindi tulad ng ibang halaman na makikita lang sa ibang iba't ibang gubat, no? So, and it's also a way of raising awareness about them. Also, mahal gumamit ng imported pag magde-decorate ka lang ng stage, di ba? As opposed to something like the tibatib na kasing ganda naman ng mga imported tulad ng Monstera. No? Napanggit ko kanina yung scientific name ng tibatib, no? Epipremnum pinnatum. And you make it a point to say the scientific names of these various native species, no? Lalo na yung trees and plants. Why is it important for you to do that? Kasi there might be some viewers who will react na, oh, nosebleed naman yung mga sinasabi ni Celine, no? Bakit hindi na lang sabihin na tibatib, parang dinadagdagan pa ng mahabang pangalan, yung epipremnum pinnatum, ang hirap tandaan, para talagang teacher to si Celine, no? So why do that?
Unang bahagi pa lang yan ang ating kwentuhan kasama si Celine Murillo. Sa part 2, ipinaliwanag kung bakit mahalaga ang scientific names ng bawat hayop at halaman. Binanggit din niya kung ano ang sikreto para magkaroon ng green thumb ang mga plantito at plantita.